The Marketing Development Podcast is now brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, a brand new online resource for marketers and marketing professionals to improve their expertise by offering different levels of training courses. Our first course is now on pre-sale, looking at different areas of SEO and how to apply an SEO strategy to any website that you're working on, be it a website for your employer or one for your client. More details can be found at marketingdevelopment.academy.
And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I found outsource.services and I thought, yeah, that's it.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett and today I am joined by Chris Castillo from Propel Digital Media, and he is launching a new service called Outsource Services. We dive into his business, we dive into his new project, and overall we just have a great chat. Show notes can be found at peteeverett.com/038. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and today I am joined by a good friend of mine from the online community. We've never met in real life, Chris Castillo. Chris, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me here. I'm pretty excited to be here.
No, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. Now, Chris does a whole host of things, and I'm not going to murder an introduction by trying to get everything right and getting everything seriously wrong. So, Chris, do you want to give us a quick intro as to who you are and what you do?
Yeah, for sure. So, I'm the owner, founder of a small, tiny digital marketing agency called Propel Digital Media Solutions. I started my business as a side hustle and was able to transition into full-time sort of business owner, entrepreneur about 3 or 4 months ago. So it's a relatively new sort of space for me to be, full-time into my business. But I used to be an engineer. I did a lot of things with sort of computers and technology. Just recently over the last probably 5 months, I've been managing a Facebook group for other entrepreneurs, agency owners, and digital marketers and things like that. Just helping everybody kind of get connected and just grow their business in any way that I can try to help to do that. So that's been a project of mine on the side for a little while now and taken up quite a bit of my time actually recently. So I have to try to balance things out a little bit more, I think.
Yeah. You know, I've been having some discussions like that with Kyle Van Dusen, who runs the Admin Bar.
Yeah.
Along with Matt Siebert. And you know, Kyle and I have been having exactly the same things. You know, I mean, his group's heading for 1,000 members or something now, and he's like, you know, how do I ever get any work done?
It's tough, man. Especially, I mean, I don't know how Kyle does it, to be honest with you, because he pumps out content on the regular, like way more regular than I do. I have no idea how he manages, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, too right. I don't, you know, I know he bases a lot of his strategy around live video, which it gets loads of engagement and it's a really great way of doing things, but I couldn't have that commitment in my diary. I don't know how he creates the space.
I mean, yeah, I hear you. And I think he does a really good job of being able to bring on board like some really interesting people. So that really definitely helps, I think, to be able to have like a lineup of people that can come in and shed some interesting perspectives. I think it really helps not only like produce content, but also like, you know, share some unique sort of content that people haven't really seen before. So he does a really good job at that.
Yeah, he does. So big shout out to Kyle in the Admin Bar. I'll drop a link to him in the show notes just to show him some love. Not that he needs it, but there we go. So, just talking about that sort of for a minute. Actually, I mean, so your Facebook group that you run is Supercharge Your Web Agency, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, that's got like 1,800 members in it. So considering you've only really been doing this full time for like the past 5-6 months something, you really do have quite a big sort of audience. You've really been crushing it as a sort of part-timer whilst you had your previous job. So do you just want to sort of go into a little bit about how that sort of balance worked and how you got to the point of jacking in the old job to take this full-time?
Yeah, the group started off fairly small. I think there was only probably about 300 or 400 people when we first, probably like the first 2 or 3 weeks after we launched or whatever. A lot of it just was a result of me being fairly active in the Facebook group community. So like a lot of web design groups and WordPress groups and things like that. And I think just a lot of people just recognized me and sort of saw the group and recognized me and then just kind of jumped on board. And I'm happy that they did so. But and the other side of it too is that like I think I just I was trying to help Kyle with this a little bit because you know, I was trying to help him to see if we can try to grow the group organically a little bit better. Mm. And one of the things that I did was just to start, you know, dedicate a little bit of time to like optimizing the Facebook group in terms of, you know, Facebook SEO or whatever. And there's a few things that I did that seemed to have worked really well and got a lot of organic reach early on. That was before the Facebook algorithm sort of changed in the last little while and kind of nerfed the growth a little bit. But yeah, I mean, in terms of my business though, it was hard. I mean, I think that's one of the things that people really gravitated towards was the fact that they saw a lot of themselves in me in terms of like how much I really struggled to not only keep my job going, but just, you know, I have a family, I had a full-time job, and I'm at the same time, I'm trying to start this web design business and digital marketing agency. And it's a lot of work. And I think a lot of the problems that I ran into, a lot of people ran into also. Maybe they weren't in the same sort of boat as I was. They might have had a little bit less going on in their life, but I think they recognized that I had sort of some a unique perspective that could help them sort of overcome their issues, right? So, yeah, it just sort of, I mean, it was 80 hours a week probably for about almost 2 years before I managed to quit my full-time job. So it's not anything by any means that happened overnight.
Yeah, no, you know, I feel it. So I've started two businesses in the past, and this one, we can talk about this story a little another time, because this the starting so the agency I run now is a little bit different. But when I started, I ran a freelance business for I don't know, 2.5-3 years, something like that, before I got headhunted for a job. And I did exactly that. It was, you know, you went and did a 40-50 hour job during the week, then you came home, you had tea with the family, and then it was off upstairs to the office and work another 4-5-6 hours before trying to get some sleep and doing it all again tomorrow. And that was it. When I was doing 4 nights a week, Friday night became sacred in our house. Friday night, no work happened. That was the rule. So, you know, when I was doing that Monday to Thursday and then having to pick work up at the weekend as well, that was it. Right. Yeah. Okay. The job needs to go. I need some more time.
Yeah. Oh, I felt that too. We did have a day during the week where either there was no work done or there was very little work done, because there was definitely, you know, we needed to kind of take some time to dedicate to the family and whatnot. But yeah, I was, you know, like you said, after work, it was eating dinner and then straight back to the next job. And a lot. And I was fortunate though, because, you know, my employer at the time was very, very, they were very like chill about the rules and whatnot. So I was able to, if I came in at like 9:15, like nobody was going to give me a hard time instead of 9 o'clock, right? If I took my lunch at 1 p.m. instead of 12 o'clock, like nobody cared. It was really just get the work done kind of thing, which was really great, because I was able to kind of take my breaks at whatever time suited my business. So I would schedule meetings during my break time and I would say, there's my availability. And like nobody really had to know that I was at work or whatever. And I would just like sneak out the back and like jump on my cell phone and have a Zoom call or you know what I mean? Like it was crazy, but you know, I made it work or whatever.
Oh, you know, this is like flashbacks. I was doing exactly the same. The number of meetings I had from the car in the car park.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, yeah, you're right. You just take a half hour break and you literally run down to the car and then you try and get everything you needed to do, which normally, you know, if you had like an hour or so, you just take it nice and steady. Instead, you were like, no, focus to the point. I've got 29 and a half minutes to get this done and I've got to be back at the desk.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But you know, actually there's sometimes a kind of misconception about launching a business, isn't there, which is, you know, that these great entrepreneurs have these epiphany moments where they go and jack everything in and then they start the week or they start the month with their new venture and it just all magically comes together. It doesn't work. It's never worked like that for me anyway.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know anybody that has had that kind of success. I mean, I'm sure it's happened before, but I mean, most of us have to really work pretty hard to get things going. So,
too right, and you know, we have families, we have bills to pay, we need to get food on the table. You know, you want to enjoy what you do, but sometimes you need to be a little bit sensible about how you go about it. Otherwise,
for sure,
you really could crash and burn.
Yeah.
So now you're full time. So how have things changed, or have you seen a change in things since you've gone full time with Propel? Has that made a sort of, I hope it's had a cash flow difference, but you know, more in terms of just being dedicated on the one thing, has that made a difference to the way you approach the business and given you a bit more freedom to expand it?
Yeah, I mean, like it's been a very unique experience because, I mean, obviously this is my first business I've ever started, so it everything is just sort of new for me, and I've been a full-time employee for a company for probably over 20 years, 25 years. I've always held down a full-time job, and so going from being an employee and then having 100% of my time available to do something I want to do or something that I'm dedicated to was just completely like backwards for me. My brain just couldn't really understand it. And so like I would wake up and I would be confused because there was no structure, no schedule, no, you know what I mean? The clock was really just, I don't know. It was just confusing for me. So a lot of the first month really was just trying to like recreate some structure for myself. Right. And
you wildcat you.
I guess that's funny, I guess, because like you would think that, you know, the second that you become like unemployed, quote unquote unemployed, where you have your own thing, like you would just go and do whatever you want. But really at the end of the day, like you have things to do, right? Like you have tasks that you need to complete. Like, and if you don't really have some structure, the first week or two, I was finding I was just not getting any work done. And you have to remember, like before that, I was squeezing out every last ounce of work out of the 60 minutes that I had, right? Like after dinner, like, you know, and so for me to have a whole day and be like, what the fuck did I do? Like, did I do anything here? Like, and it was just a complete, you know, mind spin. And I had to try to put something in place to get my bearings or whatever. And it worked. I mean, I definitely have a much more structure now, and that seems to get me more work done. I'm more productive now. But everything's been going well. A lot of the focus right now has been on implementing, you know, sales systems to ensure that we have like a solid pipeline in place and things like that. But I mean, I'm loving the journey though. It's definitely unique and something that I'm kind of, you know, I'm always surprised by the next thing that comes my way. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. You know, I watched a Gary Vee thing not that long ago. I'm not a massive Gary Vee fan. Not that I don't agree with some of the stuff he says. He annoys me some of the time. You got to be in the mood for Gary Vee. Anyway, he said, you know, he was on one of his Gary Vee show things, and he did say something that actually resonated quite well with me, which is, you know, some people get fixated on earning their $1 million or their first $10 million or whatever it might be, and actually they forget that entrepreneurship is about the journey. The end goal is what you're aiming for, but actually somebody that it takes 20 years to get to that goal is no less successful than somebody that does it in 18 months.
Yeah.
But they've probably had a far better experience of being on the journey.
Yeah.
And that really resonated with me, actually, which was, you know, I set myself annual goals and break them down and try and keep momentum. But, you know, you can't beat yourself up if sometimes you have a bad quarter and you don't quite get to where you were planning on being. You know, as long as you covered the bases and you've got forward momentum, then you know, you're going in the right way. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people have this thing against Gary Vee, but I'll tell you, like, I kind of understand like where people might not, where he might rub people the wrong way, because he's very dry about things. But he was one of the guys throughout my journey that sort of motivated me, because I was his target market, right? Like, I was his ideal, you know, audience. That the people that were tuning into his podcast were people just like me, who were working full time, trying to make something for themselves on the side. And so a lot of his podcasts, a lot of his content really resonated with me. And in fact, and he was a huge motivator for me early on. Now, and it's funny, because one of the things that I heard was, you know, Gary said, I don't care if you don't listen to my podcast anymore. I don't care if you stop watching my YouTube videos. At the end of the day, if that's sort of my goal, is to have you not watch any of my content anymore. Because if you don't watch any of my content, I've done my job. Because essentially, he would have guided you. You would have graduated from the state where he's trying to appeal to, right? And that's sort of been the case for me. I actually don't listen to Gary Vee anymore, but it's just more than anything, because it's just not relevant to me anymore. Not that I don't love the guy. I think the guy's a pretty cool guy, in my opinion, but but yeah, he can definitely come across a little bit, rub people the wrong way a little bit.
Yeah, no, I get it. I like the stuff he said. I've just got to be in the mood for him. He's not the sort of thing where, you know, if I'm kicking back on the sofa at the end of the night, I want to be watching some Gary Vee. But yeah, you know, it's horses for courses. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. So, grab a glass of wine and listen to Gary Vee.
Yeah. That sounds like marital bliss. So I totally get the way you're going about the structure thing. So about 18 months ago, my wife left her job and started coming to work for us in our agency. And, you know, our agency is split out across the UK. So, I've got an office near where our house is. But we a lot of the guys just work from home. And we kind of have an ethos of, you know, we don't particularly clock watch. We just want people to get the job done on time. That's it. I don't care whether you work at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock at night. As long as you show up when we say we're going to show up and the job gets done on time, that's up to you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my wife started, and she'd very much been sort of penned in by the school run. So she was a bit like you in terms of the amount of work she'd get done. She'd go to work, she'd drop the kids off at school, she'd go to work, and then she'd absolutely be to the bone right up until she had to leave to pick them up from school at the other end of the day. And she came to work with us, and it took her, two, 3 months to really get into the swing of it. And in the end, we did have to have a discussion about structure and say, right, okay, so one of the things we decided is she was going to go down from working 5 days a week to four. So, okay, so what is going to be your free day? So we figure that out. And then, right, what are the regular tasks that you do? Can we put chunks of work aside for client, chunks of time aside for client work? And we ended up sort of retrofitting a structure just because it made her feel better. 18 months on, she can't envisage a life where we can't have the flexibility and freedom that we have now. But that's, yeah. It took a time for that journey to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I do. I never felt like that. I absolutely relished the fact that I didn't have to be penned to a desk from 9 till 5 every day, and I sort of flew with it. But yeah, you know, some people don't, and that's just the way it goes. So yeah,
I'm considering adding a. I'm considering installing a time card machine, so I can clock in and out of my desk whenever. Whenever I wake up in the morning, hold myself accountable
to yourself. Yeah. Watch it. You might have to have some stiff words with yourself.
Yeah.
So I am just, you know, obviously it sounds like you've had a pretty active sort of 2 years. That's been condensed down into the last sort of 6 months when you've been doing this full time. And now you've announced that you're launching something new, because you're obviously bored of what you're doing. So you need another project. Yeah. Is this your new side hustle? What is it? Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, for sure. It's funny because it's sort of like I always find over the last like year or so that I've been pulled in so many directions at any given point in time, and I've got to try to say no to some things and then just focus on one or two things. And I've done that for the most part. And then all of a sudden this sort of project came on, and I couldn't say no, because the way that it kind of came about was, in my group, There was, I mean, and it's really with any Facebook community right now, there's the whole like self-promotion thing is just something that's not really accepted. It's frowned upon to be, you know, posting up things about your business and advertising and promoting yourself. And I kind of see the two sides to it, right? I mean, obviously, as business owners, we need to promote our products and services. That's just a fact of business. Like, you're not going to survive unless you get your name out there and all that other stuff. So there's sort of the need, and then there's the platform, and the platform wasn't really addressing that need. And so I, in my Facebook group, just had put out, somebody had said, you know, we should really get a list together about all the people that do a specific type of work, right? And I said, okay, let me see what I can do. I think it's a good idea, but I just got to figure out a way of doing it where it's just not going to be a complete mess, right? So like, this is like, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 months ago, I would say probably 4 months ago, I put up on my group a post that said it was going to be a directory of business owners. And it was like I was looking through Facebook to try to figure out like how we can do this within the group. And there was the option of creating some sort of like a document. It's almost like a Word doc or whatever, but it's just within Facebook. Like, you can't access it outside of Facebook. And so I created this and I said, okay, the plan early on was just, cause I just wanted to do something quick and dirty to help people out. And I said, okay, I'm going to try to make this list and people will just be able to like maybe send me their details, or I'll have some mechanism for them to submit their details and I'll add them to this list. And then I'm thinking, and that was the post originally. And yeah. I got a lot of attraction. People were reacting to it very positively. And all this other thing. So I knew that people really wanted it. And when I started to see how many people were sort of reacting to it, that's when I started really worrying about it. Cause I'm like, okay, if I got, you know, 100 different people, and they got 100 different businesses, and you know, like, what happens if they add a service, or if they change their phone number, or if they change their email, or if they, you know what I mean? Like, there's all sorts of information about their business that can change. And like, that's going to be a full-time job in and of itself, maintaining even just a small list. So I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work like this. Like, I need to have a better system in place. And I started brainstorming ideas of how I can do this to be able to bring this to the group, right? And I thought, if I can do this, this will be amazing, because there's no other group on Facebook that offers this to their members, right? And I thought it would be a great way to be able to satisfy that need that the platform wasn't able to do. And then it was one night that I was, and it's funny because they say that some of your most creative or your most successful sort of ideas come like when you're about to go to sleep. And I mean, it couldn't have been more unfortunate for me, because I was like, it was like probably like 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep for whatever reason, insomnia or whatever. And then the idea hit me, and I'm like, and I like the idea of this directory sort of hit me, and it just had me all worked up, and I could not sleep. And I thought to myself, okay, it'll work if I can get a really good solid domain name. That was my first thought. Don't ask me why. Maybe it's the SEO in me.
No, but mate, it's not real if you don't have a domain name.
Yeah. You know, so I'm like, okay, so I went on the hunt for a domain name, and I was probably on my phone in bed for like an hour and a half hunting domain names. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I found outsource.services, and I thought, yeah, that's it. So I bought it right then and there. It cost me a pretty penny, actually. I don't know why it was a premium domain, but I probably paid like $200 a year, which is not really a lot. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, but I mean, like the other domains that I bought were like $12 a year or something. So it's definitely, you know, 10x that. So, and then from then I just started getting to work on the whole platform and trying to figure out exactly how we're going to implement it and everything. And it's turned out pretty good. I'm pretty excited about the whole system. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Right now, we're just in a pre-launch sort of scenario right now, because I want to get the name out there. But we're going to be launching officially March 1st, and we're just doing a pre-launch giveaway right now. So there's going to be, it's free to sign up for the directory, obviously. And that was one of the things that was really important for me, was to make sure that this was just not like you know, like a cash grab where it's just, you know, if you want in, it's just exclusive to people that are just going to want to pay. Like, there's a lot of people in the group that are just starting out, and in other communities too, right, that are just starting out and can't afford to spend a lot of money on things. So, having a free option was definitely really important for me. And so it's a free sort of directory, but you just have to pay a yearly membership for additional features that would help to sort of promote your business. So we're giving away 20 free premium memberships during the pre-launch. So we have a sign up for that. And once March 1st hits, we'll open up registrations and we'll see where it goes.
Perfect. Yeah. So the URL is outsource.services, and a link to this is going to be in the show notes as well. I'm not sure of the episode number yet because of the schedule. So whatever the show note link is at the intro and the outro, there'll be a link to Outsource Services through there. And guys, go and check out this website because it is one of the best designed websites I have seen in a long time. And considering I work with designers who work on flagship projects to try and, you know, to do good web designs, it really does look great. And it's also, if you're thinking of starting something, it's a great example of an MVP as well at the moment. So yeah, mate, look, I wish you all the luck with it. And basically, the premise behind it, obviously, is that, anybody that's in the creative industry can essentially register their business, be you a solo freelancer, a copywriter, an SEO, a developer, a web designer, whatever, all the way through to an agency. And, you know, together we are stronger than as individuals. And that's basically the premise, isn't it?
I love how you just phrased that. That is perfect, man. Would you like to join my marketing team? Yeah. That's 100%, man. I we were just talking about this before we started the podcast, that it's sort of it also came out of sort of a need for my own business, because, you know, it's just me for the most part in my company, and then I have one graphic designer that I have sort of working more or less full time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just came out of a meeting with one of my sort of core key accounts, and they had a change in management, and the guy that I was normally reporting to was the VP of marketing, and he's leaving to become the COO of another small company. And so now I'm going to be reporting directly to the president of this company. And the president has no idea what is what with anything. Like, we're all just trying to catch him up on what we do and everything. And, you know, the guy is going to have to manage a bunch of different people. And he didn't really like that, because he had somebody for email campaigns or email marketing, another person for social. He had another person for SEO, which was me. He had me doing his website. And so he's like, you know, he asked me, can you just do the social for us? Because I'd rather just have one person that does all of this stuff, and it just reduces the amount of work that I have to do. And so, you know, that's exactly the reason why Outsource Services sort of exists, because in this exact scenario, what the value proposition to the president is a single point of contact, right? And so it saves him a bunch of time managing a bunch of different resources. So there's a premium that I could add on. Like, obviously, like, let's say whatever the social media management company, you know, pitches in terms of what they can offer and what their costs are, I add that to mine, and I can tack on a certain percentage or a dollar value to that for my time to manage everything, because essentially I'm doing the management that the president would otherwise do. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to be doing it. I mean, he basically said that flat out. And that's sort of the exact sort of scenario where a lot of people sort of find themselves in, is somebody, one of their clients asks them, do you do SEO? Do you do Facebook ads? Do you do, you know, paid advertising, pay-per-click with Google ads? And like, most people sort of just say no, and they just leave it at that. And it's like, you should not to say that you should get yourself into something that you're not really comfortable doing, but you should consider the option of being that one point of contact for that client. and sort of quarterbacking the entire marketing plan, because one, it'll get you exposed to other services, right? These guys that are going to be doing the social, I'm going to be interacting with them on a daily basis. So I'm going to get to know more about social media marketing, something that I personally don't offer in my company as a core service. But it's a great way for me to start getting my feet wet and getting more familiar with that is by bringing them on board, making a little bit of money off their service, and then delivering a complete package to my client. So it's really a win-win all the way around, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so really that's sort of the reason why outsourced services is what it is. And you put it beautifully when you said that we're all stronger together than we are as one, right? So yeah, for sure.
You know, that's it's an element of which of how we run our agency. So there's 10 of us we sort of bill it that there's 10 of us in total. On actual paper, there's like 4 or 5 of us that are actually employed by the agency. And then we have contracts in place with particular freelancers in different areas. And some of those have exclusivity clauses and guaranteed work and all that kind of thing. But as our agency has grown and we've wanted to expand the team, particularly in areas of digital marketing, because, you know, the offline stuff, I don't want to generalize or offend anybody, but, you know, the offline stuff, there's kind of a commonality between the different formats and whatever. I suppose if you go into bespoke packaging and stuff, it gets slightly different. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking at digital marketing, you know, video is so different to SEO, is so different to web development and et cetera, you can just go on. And well, I mean, I've just mentioned video. So the one area that we're kind of lacking in our agency is video. Mm-hmm. And we have worked with some video guys in the past. And you know what? They've been fine. They've produced a good product. The client's been happy with it. But we didn't feel that kind of synergy in order to sort of continue a regular relationship with them, with our team. So it's still a bit of a hole in our offering. We do pay-per-click very well. We do SEO very well. We do copywriting and content creation very well. My wife, who I mentioned earlier, you know, she's just sort of blossomed into social media. So we've got that kind of cover. But video's still the bit that we struggle with. Mm-hmm. And having, so even as an agency where we can say, look, we've got 10 people, a service like this where we can actually go and find the whole people to fill the holes in our service, it sort of seems ideal.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the idea or the need behind it is there, and I think the platform will, or any platform like this would help. But the real challenge though is, when trying to find somebody to fill those holes, is finding somebody that is actually going to do good work, right? And that you're going to work well with. And like, I went through this sort of outsourcing process of trying to find and hire freelancers or anybody to kind of collaborate with. And it's kind of tough. Like, it's really hard to know for, you know, exactly what you're going to get yourself into. And one of the things that I sort of did to try to help that out was just to do sort of like a trial run with some of these professionals. So instead of just, you know, bringing them on board a big project, I would throw them something small and see how they did with that. And then I would gauge whether they're a good fit for a bigger project based off of that. And that sort of worked out well. But, you know, one of the things that's one of the reasons why in outsourced services, we have some sort of mechanisms in place that allow you to kind of vet these businesses a little bit more carefully. So, you know, in the example of the video guy that you'd be looking for, there's a option to be able to add videos to your particular business listing where you can actually show off all the videos that you've done in the past. So for you, somebody that's looking for a video creation specialist, you can go in there, search specifically just for people that do video creation, and then look through those profiles to see who has videos that they've posted on their listings, and then determine the quality based off of that. And then on top of that, there's a rating system in place that rates businesses based off of 4 key metrics that I thought were like the most important for business owners, which are the quality of their work, the value, so quality versus how much you spend, right? Communication and turnaround. So those are the 4 key metrics. And I think being able to see how other people have experienced or the experience that, other people have had with those businesses in those four key aspects, I think would help significantly to, for you to be able to determine whether there's somebody that you want to work with or not.
No, yeah, you know, I'm sold. I'll be there. That's for sure. Sorry, go on, mate.
No, I was just gonna say that, like, it's been thought out, like, because it's been thought out from the perspective of my own personal needs, right? Like, I've gone through this, I've gone through the whole process, and I've gone through it without this kind of a service before, and it's painful. So, I'm just hoping that this helps to make people's lives a little bit easier and to make everybody's projects a little bit more successful.
You know, but there's actually something, I mean, we're kind of coming back full circle now to actually putting the business idea together. There's something that's so powerful in having had this issue yourself, you know, having been in the position of your target market to say, I understand what the problems are. I understand what your pains are. I understand what the challenges are. And then addressing those from their side rather than trying to visualize them and give your kind of removed sort of opinion about them.
Yeah.
So,
you know, honestly, this is a digital marketing podcast. And I think it's great to be able to touch on exactly what you just said right now, because I think it's really been a huge eye opener for me, because I was actually talking to this, I think with Kyle, I'm not sure, but how with my own agency, you know, like when we talk about who do we serve as agency owners, right? Like really most people's target demographic is pretty wide, right? Like there is no real set, you know, defined boundary in terms of who you're going to serve and what your target market is. It's sort of like I'll work with small businesses and large businesses. It's basically anything in between, right? And so, but with and that's sort of what's my was the case with my agency. And then when Outsource Services was kind of born, I realize the power of having so much insight into your target demographic, because I am the target demographic, right? I've hung around the target demographic, which is all, you know, agency owners on Facebook for a couple of years now, and I've interacted with them, and I know their problems and I know their challenges. And so writing copy, creating the design for the site, creating the service around this target market, like it was so much easier. Like you have no idea how much easier it was to create all of this, knowing that information than it was for my own agency. And I've realized now that how important it actually is when it comes to digital marketing. You really, the more insight you have into your target market, it's so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And we, you know, I'm sure you do the same with your clients. You know, you spend so much of your time, particularly when you're onboarding a new client, trying to understand their target market. And if you're then working with a client that hasn't really been through that before, you've kind of got to guide them through that journey. And it's sort of a journey of discovery for everybody around the table, but you're so much more equipped when you come out the other end than if you just try and say, yeah, well, we can do some SEO for you and just blindly go into it. So, you know, no, it's a great testimony, that, man. So, that's spot on. So look, it's outsource.services. The link will be in the show notes. Link to all of your websites and your Facebook group and all that kind of stuff will be in the show notes. So, thank you so much for your time. And if you're in the Marketing Development Podcast group, aren't you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anybody's got any questions, hit Chris up in the group or join his group you can find him in there. Is there any other way that people can get in touch with you, or are they the best ways?
If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, maybe you can drop a link in the show notes for my LinkedIn profile.
Absolutely. I'll make sure that's in there straight away. And yeah, thank you for your time, man. Really appreciated you coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate being here, man. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey Chris, thanks so much for your time and your insight. Outsource Services sounds like a really exciting project, and you can find out more at outsource.services. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/038. And come and join us for the launch of our very first course from the Marketing Development Podcast through the Marketing Development Academy, Demystifying SEO. You can find more details at marketingdevelopment.academy. Until next week, I'll see you then.